Thank you. It was a difficult and blessed trip. You guys, I think, were privy to the prayers that we were doing before the trip even started. I had something else happen right before I left, and my dad had a mini stroke. And I was on the phone with him, and he could not recall words. And I said, "Dad, I think you got something going on." And so he called 911, and he couldn't go to the hospital because he's taking care of my mother. So he went to the doctor on Monday. They confirmed he had a mini stroke. It was just a reminder because, you know, behind the scenes, I'm going, "Lord, you know, do you want me to go?" Because the adversity was pretty acute this year. And I said, if it got worse with my dad, I was going to have to cancel everything that week. Thankfully, it did not. And my dad would say the same. I mean, my dad would be in a hospital. He'd want me to be going on this trip. So, and the second question that I was having going through the back of my head was, we had started this ministry in earnest about 4 years ago. With the beginning of COVID, we transitioned to doing our weekly teachings online. And in the back of my head, I'm going, are they just receiving the teachings, but they're not implementing the counseling? They're not doing the work of discipleship. And so in my own mind, I'm going, you know, the word that I pick is training, not teaching. I want to help the pastors be able to counsel and to disciple. And the answer to both of these questions became apparent over the work, and I was extremely blessed by it. It was a pivotal year. There's going to be a slide that I'm going to show towards the end. Tim's prayer was wise in that these trips are not the culmination of our preparation and our work. We view these trips as the beginning. And so I'm going to show you a slide on a snapshot of where the work is currently. And that's in line with what Tim was praying about. I think you'll be encouraged by it, but you'll also recognize the work is now truly beginning. So I'll bring that up shortly. I'm going to open with going over there. Besides, you know, those questions that were ruminating in my mind was if indeed the pastors were not counseling, if they were not discipling, that this was the year to shove them in the deep end. So the Lord impressed upon me, this is the time to actually encourage them to set up counseling centers, you know, physical addresses, times of ministry that are available, and that the pastors would now be encouraged to make themselves available, and then I and the team would support them as they do this hard work. So the Lord had impressed that one thing upon me. And then I was reading the autobiography of George Mueller, 1800s. You guys may have known the story. He did an orphanage ministry, and he took care of thousands of orphans in England. I think in today's dollars, he raised something like $100 million for the case of the orphans. And then at the age of 70... after he'd been doing this work for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, he started a new ministry of evangelism. And at the age of 70, he went to like 95, 25 years. And so I was sending this off to Mike, who was also in Kenya. And so I said, "So what are you going to do on your 70th birthday?" And he said, it's interesting because that book he had read and that gave him the impetus to quit his job as the head pastor at Summit and to do the work that he's currently doing. It was kind of his kick in the pants to go to the next level to where God was taking him. And one of the things I appreciated out of the book was George Mueller had a very specific prayer focus. He was a man of prayer. There was a story when a boiler broke in one of the orphanages, and it was the cold season coming on, so the orphans were going to be in danger of being very cold. And so he prayed two things. He prayed that the winds would shift, and the winds would come from the south instead of the north, and it would have a period of warm for the orphans, while the workmen, who the second prayer was, that they would have the hearts to work. And he quoted the scripture dealing with building the walls in Jerusalem. And those two things happened. exactly as he prayed. So it kind of instructed me to do something and ask for something supernatural. So on this trip, I asked God that he would stir men's hearts and women, because many of the people that come are women, specifically to pursue him, to pursue his scriptures, and to pursue his ministry. And of course, we prayed that we would do our job effectively as teachers. But, you know, in the natural, I mean, Tim was talking about, you know, his last teaching a little while ago, feeling like you missed it. And of course, we're all going, we don't know what you're talking about. But we did pray that he would do his part with us. But it would be beyond us. It would become evident that a stirring was happening in the hearts of men that would be beyond just the natural explanation of us bringing the principles that we were bringing. He answered that two ways. One was, I'll mention it when we get to the Chaka camp. I did a teaching on David's fall in adultery and murder and how to avoid temptation. And after this teaching, one of the pastors confessed his sin of adultery to Moses. And Moses kind of walked him through it and said, you'll need to step down. And then the guy asked to pray with me before I left. And I took him through Psalm 51, which was David's cry of repentance. And then Moses told me in the car, he says, in Africa, that never happens. He says, adultery is very common, even very common in the pastorate. You never see a man do what he just did. So that blessed me. The second was doing the emphasis on the counseling centers and really diving into the work. You know, it could be one that they receive under compulsion because it's really going to be hard work. And when Moses and Reuben heard it, and I'll say Lavanga and Reuben interchangeably, they embraced it. And everywhere we went, they talked about our new emphasis on the counseling ministries, which is going to start in their hometowns. And then I'll show you, by the time we got to the Rwamwanja camp, before we even got to go to do our teachings, they took us to Delphin, and you'll hear me mention this guy's name many times. I was really blessed by him. He was the guy that last year, when we canceled Kampala, said, will you come to the Rwamwanja camp? And it was the last camp we added on last minute, not intending to go there. And it was the time of the greatest appreciation by those who had received us and our favorite memory of the trip. And so before we went to the teachings for there, Delphin brought us to his home and said, this is the new counseling center. And he showed us the room. And you're going to see a picture of that room. So within days of us starting this, I had a chance to walk in the room of one of our first counseling centers. So the Lord honored the request of stirring men's hearts, and I was blessed to be a part of it. Let me see if there's a couple things I want to cover before we hit the slides. We did have difficulty in the trip. I think those of you remember, Sandy sent out the prayer request. Lavanga's youngest child had respiratory issues. He needed to be hospitalized. Isaac was healed. While we're there, Lavanga had a minor motorcycle accident in Kenya before we left for Uganda. Fortunately, no broken bones, and we kind of treated his leg at the beginning of the trip. Fred, who's one of our students the past couple of years, is such a man of great capabilities and a great heart. I had a chance to speak at his church before we left Kenya. He's so good that Mike stole him from us. And he spoke at Mike's conference at the same time that we went to Uganda. And he came out of that conference and had an infection and was hospitalized for a couple of days. But thankfully, he cleared that while we were dealing with all that. So we did have the normal travails, but God gave grace in every part of it. And, you know, just like I described with my dad, you know, the whole trip was dependent upon God's grace. And I knew it from the very beginning. And it was neat to see it all unfold. I want to read you one testimony. This was by virtue of So we did 4 weeks, and I told the team, I think let's not do 4 weeks next time. So we have a new rule, 3 weeks. But in hindsight, we went, there's nothing we would cut. And so we just had to, we had to ask God for his grace. We had to knuckle under and do the work. But one of the things that we'll do when we go back, Lord willing, is we'll probably need to skip Kenya and we'll go straight to the work in Uganda, which I'm going to show you in a little bit. And then also, in 2 weeks, Ruben leaves for Rwanda, Burundi, and South Sudan. And I'm going to show you what's on deck. It's pretty encouraging. So he's doing that in 2 weeks. But in the three conferences we did in Kenya before we went to Uganda, this man that I'm going to read the testimony of was, and this goes back to my concern with the Lord, is are they doing the work or are they just hearing the teachings? Teka is Moses' protege. And this man was in the conference in Chengeni, one of the Kenyan towns, before we went to Uganda. I'll read you the testimony. It's pretty neat. M called John Machoni. I want to thank God because I have been restored from drug addiction and alcoholism. I used to go in church, but I was still using drugs and alcohol. I could use all means to get money in order to buy drugs and alcohol. I could not do without them. I used to stay in the company that uses drugs and alcohol. I could steal money from people and even sell items from home. This made me not to continue with my education. But glory to God, through the Apostle Teka Kitaxi and three pastors from Mokokoni, API, who visited me and gave me some biblical counseling, I accepted Jesus Christ. I confessed my sins, and I left using drugs and alcohol. Right now, I'm 38 years old, and I married recently and doing farming and some small fish business. I was happy when white man came at Makuni. Guess who? And taught me. Therefore, I am praying that I may be used as a vessel of counseling my friends whom I used to stay with. May the Almighty God help API to teach and transform us. Amen. So let's do the slides. All right, so this is one of the three places we did in Kenya before we went to Uganda. So it was Chengeni, Chekeleni, and Lusengeli. So you just heard the story of the testimony of the one guy. Unfortunately, I wish Moses had introduced me, but he told me after the fact that he was at the conference. So these are the three conferences that we're doing in these. So we can skip through these. These are the Bibles that were given out. Over the last year, I think we've given out approximately 800 Bibles to our students. We have a policy that they go through the first module first, because you can just give out Bibles and people sell them or whatever. So we tend to be pretty discriminating with our resources. So to the students that dedicate themselves and go through the whole first module of 20 lessons is when we try to get the resources to give Bibles to them. So over the last year, including the prison ministries, we've given out approximately 800 Bibles. All right, next one. So we did a graduation for the recent module, going through module one. So Moses and I gave out certificates for graduation, and this is in Chengeni. So again, this is the second class we did in Kenya. And that's a focus of the group. Again, more certificates of graduation. And the Bibles that we were able to give out. Tim has the catechism you guys are familiar with that we had back in the day. Well, anyway, that's all the rage over there. So Lavanga said we need more of these. And so we had a donor who made arrangements for all of these. And so these were all set up to go out to the pastors of various churches throughout Kenya and Uganda. So this is our first conference in Uganda. This is in Changwali, which is the first new camp. We went to three camps last year, Nakavale, Chiaka, and Ruamwanja. So this is one of two new camps. This is in Changwali. And the Lord, instead of making his way to the end, gave us like a really warm reception, like a neat work right out of the gate. We were all, to a man, blessed by what happened. If you got the video, we'll play that. So, again, we're trying to be wise husbands of the resources we have. We gave out 450 copies of the curriculum in this trip. And we're going to be doing 50 in Rwanda, 50 in Burundi in a couple weeks. So 550 copies of the curriculum went out. But we don't give them out when we do the first teachings when we're there. So we're there for a couple of days. We do six lessons out of the curriculum. But we don't give them that as much as it'd be nice for them to be able to do notes the days we're there. And the reason is we want to give them to them when they start the class, because there's some people that are there for the conferences that will not necessarily go through the training, and we don't want to waste the resources. So again, we make them wait until it becomes evident that they want to be serious about their training. So every time we go, Lavanga will ask, all right, who's interested in proceeding forward to weekly training after we get back? So this is the video that kind of he's doing this. I had both his hands up. So it was, that's it, thanks. It was a blessing to us to see this camp so enthusiastically embrace it. And I'll show you how we're dealing with this towards the end of the presentation. But right out of the gate, we knew we were supposed to be there, and it was really a blessing. This is Pascal. Pascal is a common name. It's a French name. So a lot of the guys are from Congo or Burundi and Rwanda. He blessed me as well. His head pastor was a prosperity gospel guy, came through. Told the head pastor, if you want to make money, get a degree in psychology, and you'll be able to use psychology to be able to make money with. And then Pascal entered our training a year ago in biblical counseling, and his head pastor took notice of the impact that he was making with the biblical counseling. So the head pastor jettisoned his psychology and came into the class. But we're in his host church in this camp. And he has a stutter, and it's intermittent, but when I'm talking to him, it's pretty severe. But it's neat seeing how God used this man who has a stutter, serving in the second position in the church, and how God had used him to bring this ministry to the church. So that's Pascal. So the man on the left is Tim Rafalovich. He is the guy that was at Grace when John MacArthur brought biblical counseling to Grace. And Tim and I would have conversations when we were at work at Remax. No, it was a Pinnacle. And we would never get any work done. We would just talk about what he was learning about in these classes. So I said, Tim, you got to get me in. I don't care if I'm not on staff, whatever. I want you to, you know, get me into this stuff because I love it. So Tim was also with his church. He's down in Orange County, and they also have a ministry that they do with like a clinic in Uganda. So it just so happened that he was going to be in Uganda when we're in Uganda. So we had to travel from the western border back to Kampala on the eastern side to have our meeting with Tim. But Tim had a chance to meet our team. It was also a blessing because I'm also short of room. I'm bringing stuff over. Tim graciously took two suitcases of the study Bibles, which Crossway has generously provided to us for free. The only issue is us getting it over. It's a pretty neat story. I'll tell it really quick. A donor had was giving me money to do nice study Bibles for our students. And so I was looking online, and I found some for $20. And then when he said, go for it, they went up to $22. I said, I can't do that. So I contacted Crossway and said, can we get them for a discount? And they said, well, how about free? So, yeah, right? So these are study Bibles that are designed for Africa and Asia. Crossway has got a current undertaking of providing 1 million Bibles through the Third World. And so Mike and I both have boxes of these things, and our only limitation is getting them over there. So Tim took two boxes of these Bibles. So we put, Mike took eight, so I put 32 of these Bibles, went to all of our leaders and leaders in training this trip. So that was a big blessing. So that's Tim Rafalovich. So these are some of the pastors with the study Bible gifts that we were given. Right after our first time, we went back to Kampala after our first visit in Changwali, and we're trying to work out logistics. What are we going to do when we get back? So we currently do WhatsApp conference calls, and we pretty much stretch this technology to the max because the guys in the camps don't have the internet bandwidth to do Zoom. They can't do video, and they can't do high bandwidth stuff because they're in the middle of, you know, a refugee camp. So we do WhatsApp conference calls. So we had a brainstorm that we'll get a Bluetooth speaker for each of the camps, and then they'll come together. And if we have 50 students, they'll come together and they'll hear our live class that we do. But instead of, you know, 50 different calls, it'll be one call. So we implemented that, and we gave a Bluetooth speaker to each of the leaders in the camp as we went, and then I'll fill you in on the details of what that's going to look like afterwards. So this is the second camp, Chiaka. And so this is where that pastor repented. It was also, I think, we've had about four leaders in training for the last year in this camp. So we have a really good infrastructure in this camp going forward. So that's the Chiaka camp. And that's the team of four. It's Alex, another Pascal, Christoph, and then Moses at the far left. He actually hosted us last year in the Chiaka camp. So this is our core team in the Chiaka camp. So for those that were willing to start a counseling center, PNR Publishing gave us a packets of 30 counseling books, so mini booklets on all the various topics. So for those that wanted to commit to doing the counseling center, we left them with these 30 booklets to help use as resources. These are the kids in the Chiaka camp. I'll show you some pictures in a little, well, now it's starting. So in two of the camps, we had someone from the church donate money specifically for to use for children. So we had provided food for some of the kids. And so you kind of understand the pecking order. So we feed adults when we can, which we pretty much do every time we go to the camps. But the children are on the outskirts and they don't get fed. So because of this donation, we gave them food, soda. Lavanga said they had not had bread since January. So the food over there is still a very pressing concern. Go ahead. So this is the Rwanda camp. This is the home of Delphin, who's on the left. So you're about to see the new counseling center. Go ahead. So this is his church, Hawaii style, so no sides. And that's the meals that we were able to provide there. And that's the group. And this is one of the first interactions with the kids. Lavanga also does a gospel presentation along with the food. So he does both sides, the physical and the spiritual. All right, so this is Delphin's home. He has eight children. Which, interestingly enough, he has the kids in another camp, Nakavale, because they have French teaching there. Again, he's from Congo. So he has his youngest with him there. But so he's converting two of the rooms of his home, one to the counseling center and one to like a Bible study room for everyone to come and use his resources. He does like Sunday morning teachings and broadcasts it. Yeah. I love this because when I'm there, all I'm hearing is the Islamic call to prayers, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock at night, and it just grates on me. So I love the fact that we're getting even. So that's Delphin, and that's with the counseling resources. Mike also has an arrangement with a ministry out of San Diego. So they have these purifying water bags. You can take the dirtiest of waters with all the worst bacteria and all that kind of stuff. It filters it all out. So we were able to take it to 4 of the camps, which was a blessing for Mike and the ministry that we're taking it into the refugee camps. We do a lot of stuff like on the fly. So I'm doing one teaching, and this is in the Mbarara area. This was actually our first graduates that went through all 3 of the modules. You'll see pictures of the graduate class shortly. But while I'm teaching, Lavanga is going out and printing up the graduation certificates, and then we're signing them, and then you'll see the presentation shortly. So that's our group. Pretty interesting group. Ezekiel's in the middle. He's actually when I get to the last camp, I actually had him speak in one of the sessions. Delphin, who you saw, I had him speak in one of the sessions. It was really great to see what I call the third tier. So if I'm the first tier, Lavanga and Moses, Boniface are the second tier of teachers. We're now bringing up the third tier of teachers, and they're now teaching and leading in this. It's a pretty interesting group. Go back one real quick. That guy right there was in a white shirt. Yeah, it's fine. You can go back to the white shirt. He was the equivalent of a judge on the Supreme Court in Burundi.
Wow.
Yeah. He's like, but because of the factional fighting that they have there, and I think I told you last year, the eye-opening experience I had is I'm the worst-dressed guy there. So these are middle-class to even upper-class people in the camps. These are not the poor. These are people that left with their shirts on their back. They left their livestock. They left their homes behind. And he was one of those guys. He left a place of position, and he's now in our ministry. That's the Mbarara group. This was a one-day conference, not in the camps, but it's just a place. It's the second largest city in Uganda, and so we've developed a ministry there. So now we're in the Nakavale camp. This is the biggest of the camps, and we also have the most of our trainers there. So this is probably our biggest work that is going on right now. This is where Delphin's children are, so Delphin's able to shuttle between these two camps. We'll probably be utilizing him more in both of these individual camps. This was also the second camp that we fed the children at. You can go ahead. This is Moses teaching. And that's our group in the Nakavale camp. I'll give us another short testimony. This is from Dusabe, who's a biblical counseling student in the Nakavale refugee camp. I thank God for the biblical counseling training. This reminds me of a counseling I finished last month of a man who came to fellowship in our church with his, what he thought was wife. After interactions, I realized he had left his wife and took this lady. I offered them counsel, and after counsel, the man and the mistress separated. The man went back to his wife and returned to the church they used to fellowship. He accepted the discipline in his church, and now he's happily married to his wife. And so you can see that the Lord kind of addressed this concern I had was, are they just hearing it, or are they starting to implement it? And the Lord gave me many instances of showing that the men had indeed dove in the deep end without me pushing them in, and they were doing the hard work. So this is the Nakavale camp. You can go ahead. So this is the kids now getting the clean water because of the filtration bags. So we had, again, the donation of some homemade cards. I think Joshua's school, yeah? And yeah. So this is the cards being distributed to the children. So after we pretty much do every conference, Reuben now goes in his mode. And like all the pastors are interfacing with Reuben. He's setting up the follow-up training, which we'll get into in a little bit. So basically, he's powwowing with all the pastors that are interested in this training going forward. So that's what it looks like. So this is the children in the second camp, Nakavale. And he's doing his gospel presentation. So this is the Orotchinga. This is our last camp. This was a bookend. It was so we had I talk amongst the group, and Delphin and Ezekiel, two of our guys that had been in training for a period of time, we decided to have them teach in this last camp, and they did. They hit it out of the park. It was apparent to me that Delphin was a rare guy. And matter of fact, I do Q&A like Tim does at the end of the conferences, at the end of each one, and Delphin started to field some questions during the Q&A. So I'm next to Lavanga, and I'm elbowing, is he biblical? Is he on point? He says, oh, yeah, he's really good. So it was a blessing to see this man kind of rise up and be prepared. And so he did. It was obvious to me he's even a more capable teacher than I am. He held the room. He did a really effective job. And he's doing it in Swahili. But I could tell by the manner in which he was doing it, he was doing a phenomenal job. So this was my encouragement. I took this rock off the ground, and this was the third tier. The third tier was up and running. This one, the Orotchinga camp, was probably 90% women. So every time I have this emphasis, I take them to Titus 2. And I remind them of the opportunity that they have, of a problem that we have there, which is, you know, it's even a problem we have in the U.S., is women are elevated to a role of pastor. And so instead of just focusing on the fact that they're not supposed to be in the pastor position, I show them what an honor it is and how important it is in the Titus 2 role of mature women in the Lord leading the younger women in the Lord. If the church is 90% women, that's a powerful ministry for a mature woman in the Lord. So I emphasize that, and this is, in this particular case, it was mostly women that we did in this last conference. This was a government official, being a government official. But interestingly enough, and the reason he found out about us is we have to do some logistics before we do these trips. So Lavanga has to go to Kampala ahead of time. He has to go to the office of prime minister. And we have to get letters for every camp that we go in. It's primarily because white guy. They go in, they have no problems going in. But when I go, we have to dot all our I's and cross our T's. So he got a letter from Kampala about our trip to the Orotchinga camp. So he made himself known and he came. The interesting thing was he stayed for the whole conference and started to talk about the points that we were bringing up in the conference. And he was very blessed by it. And I was blessed that, you know, he was encouraged by the work. And we heard many, many times, please come back very quickly because we're blessed by what you have brought. That's Lavanga teaching at this conference. Yeah, any running around kid is not safe from Moses. I probably have 12 of these shots. Moses would just grab any little kid he saw and just spend some time with him. He's just got a father's heart. I'll talk about this prison ministry. I'm going to take advantage of this time to not only update you on the trip, but I'm going to give you a snapshot of the ministry. One of the things that we've done this last year is started with Boniface in the Lodwar prison. I think we supplied 100, 200 Bibles for that work. And we've had a couple people come out of the Lodwar prison. Boniface took one to the Kakuma camp when he was doing that ministry. And then recently we gave like $40. I might have a slide of it. And we set a guy up to be an electrician. He's got like a jumpsuit and like all these tools, and we got it for $40. So we've kind of expanded on this with Moses. He's got his hometown is Kakamega, and so there's a prison there. So there's 200 women, I think, inmates along with children, babies, and 700 to 800 men. And so he speaks with both. It's normally a long process to get approved to go to the prisons, like years. I did a letter for him, and he got in right away. And interestingly enough, the leaders of the prison are all Muslim. It's pretty interesting when Moses is giving the gospel and giving out Bibles. But there was one instance where there was this one hysterical lady who was just wailing and was a point of despair for the leadership. And Moses, in addition to doing the teachings to the group, also allocates some time to do one-on-one counseling. Again, a blessing for me to see that the work had entered this level. And she came to the Lord. And when he told me the last time he was there, you know, she was of sound mind, restful spirit. And the leaders took notice and they said, come back here as often as you want. You have an open door policy. So that's the work we've done. I think it's kind of an expansion on the least of these. We're going to the refugees, and I think we'll probably keep the prison ministry. It's one that's, they are a lower caste. Nobody goes to them in the prisons. They don't get Bibles. So now they have, again, through the donations of a lot of you, we have these Bibles for them. And so the, you know, the women are proudly holding it up. We had so many. I think we had 200 Bibles that we keep in the library for the men, because there's 800 men. But that's the new prison ministry. That's what packing for a month looks like. I'm just saying. All right. So this is something only the Lord would do. So I told you 4 weeks is a long time. So going into the fourth week, I was waking up tired. I was going to bed tired. I was spent. So we had done 5 2-day conferences in the camps, and we had done 5 1-day conferences throughout. So I did 15 teaching days over the course of 30 days. And if we're not teaching, we're in a car driving across the country to another spot. And the fourth week, I was spent. And so I said to the Lord, I'm going to need grace because I'm just exhausted. So probably, you know, back in my mind, I decided to check on my flight coming home. And I'm checking on the amenities, and it says lie flat bed. And I went, well, I must be in the wrong part of the website. So I go back, and I saw that I was upgraded to business class for both of my flights coming home. It's not at the last minute when the flight was full. This was done a week ahead of time. I didn't pay any money. I just went in there and saw that I had a lie flat bed for going home. Yeah, right? And you guys probably know, but I have a low back injury that I've had since I was 30. And if I'm in a normal airline seat, I'm in pain. I can't go to sleep. I usually rest my head on the forward seat because it gives me like 2 inches of stretch. So I'm always in the aisle seat whenever I can, but I don't sleep. And so on this flight, I actually slept for 3 hours, and I was just like blown away that I could fall asleep to do that. So this is something I would never do for myself, but God saw fit to bless me in that towards the end. So this is actually the thing that gives me the most excitement. This is, to Tim's point, about praying for the seed that has been planted. This is what's going to be, as of next week, our ongoing class schedule. So these are all individual, weekly, or monthly classes where sometimes Moses and Lavanga go there. But we just basically doubled this. I talked to them. We could essentially do one class remote for the refugee camps to the individual Bluetooth speakers. And Lavanga said they talked to Moses and said, no, we want to do an individual class for each of the refugee camps. So those will all be done in Swahili. Lavanga already has, he does a Swahili class and a women's Swahili class. And then towards the top are the existing classes we've had this last year. Metete is where Moses is. Chekalini is the conference I showed you. Chenjeni was, again, in Kenya, where I was. Majengo is where Reuben is. Yeah, I know you guys can't read this, but I wanted you to see this all in one snapshot on what's happening now. And then all the camps are in the middle, and so we'll be doing weekly live Swahili classes for each of the camps. Bujumbura is the capital of Burundi. Kigali is the capital of Rwanda. And Lord willing, we're going to fund the part to Burundi. Gospel for Africa, let me kind of catch you up to speed. In addition to Mike stealing our guys, Gospel for Africa is stealing our guys. So they heard Lavanga speak once, and he was invited to speak at one of their conferences. He's spoken now twice in South Africa, once in Ivory Coast, and then he's going to Rwanda for them, and then he'll be going to Juba in South Sudan for them, and then two more months he'll be going to Zambia, which I'll get to in a second. So what we're doing is we're basically using Gospel for Africa's travel budget, and then Lavanga speaks of the biblical counseling program, and then we start a new remote class for those students who are interested in. And then our goal is, after they're getting through about the first module, is when we'll come and do a conference. Once we see a dedicated student base that's committed to the program, we'll then spend our money and our travel budget and go do classes in those areas. But the beauty of what we're doing now is for about $400 a month we spend on, they call it bundles, basically internet minutes, is we're going to be doing all these classes. It's, I think, 23 classes. And then I will be doing a new class called Hard Cases. There's some folks that have done what I've done for a lot longer, even better at it, and there's a book that goes through their hardest cases. And so we did a couple chapters with the guys while I was there, and we thought it would be a good thing to start a class for everyone who wants to find out, okay, on the hardest of cases, how do you apply the scriptures to it? I just started a class a couple months ago. It's turned into our largest class. It's also incorporated because of Lavanga's visit to South Africa. There are seven countries now in Southern Africa that are participating in this current class that we have started. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in a second. So that's where the, to Tim's point is, this was just the beginning. This is the work I'd like us to pray for. This is what our year going forward looks like. All right, next slide. Oh, no, let's go back real quick for a second. So the other blessing was, this is the group of the pastors who are now in leadership and will also be the points of contact in each of the camps. So this is 19 different leaders that we have in these roles. And then instead of Reuben or Moses only teaching the five camps themselves, we are bringing up this core group. As I mentioned, we have Delphin, we have Ezekiel, we have Edward, and Fred. So for those five camps, we have five different leaders that will be teaching the weekly classes. So this core group that we brought up for the last year or two is now stepping into the teaching role. And so this is really exciting for me to see the tier two group expand, but also this tier three group. We now have 19 teachers that have been trained to do this. The students we have now, this totals up to 1,450 students. We essentially just added 500 students in this trip. And so that's what we're going to be training over the next 2 years. Of syllabuses, we've given out 910 syllabuses. We've given out 845 Bibles. We're praying for the provision. Our goal is when we go back, we want to go back with 500 Bibles for the five camps, because we'll be finishing the first module, and we want to give those Bibles as gifts to the students in the first module. All right, next slide. Okay, cool. I think we're good. Oh, so this is the counseling center. So we have commitments now for 9 counseling centers. So many in the refugee camps, in Moses' hometown, Lavanga's hometown. So those are all the line items where we'll be setting up the counseling centers. All right, next slide. So what's ahead? So we've currently been funded. Right before I left on this trip, we were given a rather large donation. So we have the next on our to-do list is, once Lavanga does his prep work in Rwanda and Burundi, that work gets started with a remote class, then we're ideally going to be able to go back to Rwanda, Burundi. We've also started some work in DRC. And then we want to get to the northern part of Uganda near the South Sudan border. That's where the remainder of the refugee camps are. Next slide. Let me go to the map. Keep going. So, Lord willing, this year we'll finish what's called the East Africa bloc. So we're currently in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi at the beginning side, and then we've been in DRC for about a year. Livongo will be going to Juba, the capital of South Sudan, next month. So we're rounding out our exposure to all of these, and we'll probably have remote training going on in all of these seven countries. So that was a pretty neat expansion. Go ahead. But because of Livongo's recent work with Gospel for Africa, we now have students in eight countries in southern Africa. And so as they get through the module, our goal is next year, Lord willing, we will host a conference in Zambia or Angola. So that's on our to-do list now. And I think that will finish us. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the end.